You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, in the house today, we're a day early, and we threw people last week, Don, because we're a day early, because I had to go somewhere, I don't know where I had to go, and we posted it on a day, and they said, oh, have you moved the day? Anyhow, we haven't moved the day, we're back on Wednesday, and who's in the house today is you, Don.
Yes, unorganised, I've left my
disorganised.
Left my notes at home.
Yeah, well, what's new? You never refer to them when you got them, so it doesn't matter. We got Ivan's back from the
Alfred E. Newman
from the Antipodes.
G'day, boss Don.
Max, I think, is coming in to have his take on sport, and Phoebe. Now, Phoebe, we've just given her. She's on hiatus, I think, is the word.
Hiatus.
Where's that in the Caribbean?
Oh, it's either a complaint you've got on your aunt, or it's a, I don't know. No, she's very happy to come in, but we've given her a rest in case we've put her employment under jeopardy by speaking about things like, you wait till we speak about a couple of things that we've got on our mind, I've got on my mind. My word, just wait for this. Anyhow, so, and I'm not sure if the doc's ringing in, where we are.
Why aren't you organised?
I'm disorganised.
I know that. Why aren't you organised?
I'll tell you why, Don. Because I run the whole...
I know that. You're a control freak.
I'm not a control freak.
You are.
If I didn't bring subjects, start the machine, organise the guests, do the preamble, chat about things that we might speak about, we would have dead... In fact, we wouldn't be on. And can I tell you...
I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall at production meetings when you were doing the footy show.
I didn't go to them.
Now, Don, I know you wouldn't have.
Now, Don.
Exactly
now,
right.
Now, Don, speaking of the footy show...
What about it?
So when I say speaking of the footy show, and I open my mouth to go, why I'm speaking about the footy show, he says, what about it? Don!
Well, he doesn't have any notes.
Well, if I said speaking of the footy show, and I was about to just draw breath to say what I'm going to speak about the footy show, and he says,
what about it?
Speaking of the footy show, which I was, I don't want to claim any limelight and I don't want to jump on the bandwagon, but after this, I'm going to post on... we do a preamble and we advertise the fact that we're on. You know, we do that every week. And I'm going to put on... Me singing with the great, late Olivia Newton-John. You're the one that I want on the footy show. Eddie introduced us and she came on in 2005 and I sang a song. Flat as buggery, but I sang a song with the great, late Olivia Newton-John. So I'm going to post that. I don't want people to say, oh, you're jumping on the bandwagon. Is this about you? It's not about me. I'm doing it for my
What do you think was her best song?
Well, we can...
I think I honestly love you. Do you remember that
Yes,
one?
I do, Don. Or Xanadu. Any
no,
of those?
No, not Xanadu.
All right, Don. Sorry for having
it's
an opinion.
It's subjective.
Opinion about what I thought was the best song. I'll take that back, Don. Which song should I say was her best? Right, now, listen. Listen to me. So that's that. So why did I say that? Why did I start
saying...
You're
just drawing attention to yourself.
I just said I'm not doing that, Don. But I'm unashamedly putting it on. The great Eddie Maguire introduced us, and so I'm going to put that on. Now, there was something else. So I'm not sure if the doc is ringing in. The doc was away last week. He was doing a keynote address to someone.
To who?
Maybe his missus. I don't know. Maybe they're going to reconfirm their vows again.
I'll have to talk to the doc. I think he's moonlighting as a Uber driver. So we'll ask him about that if he calls in.
You idiot. Oh, you... Hey, what about Ivan?
That's why I said Alfred E. Newman. Oh, do you know who Alfred E. Newman is?
Yeah, he was on Mad Magazine.
Mad Magazine. Yeah. He just pop up.
Now
you know?
I'm mad.
Well, you didn't explain why you're calling him Alfred
well,
E. Newman.
Well, if you read the Mad Magazine, you'd know who he was. No. And he used to just pop up.
Well, he popped up. yeah. I opened my...
phone.
I opened the phone, on email. Not email.
Text.
text. And there's a picture of Ivan and the doc up in Sydney. And then I thought he photoshopped it.
No.
I shut the phone, I hear ding, and the phone opens again. And there's another photograph of him. You've become... you're not swinging hands, are you?
No. Outstanding up there.
So
very professional, that set up there. And good looking too, the doc. What's he doing on radio? He should be doing television. So I'm not too sure...
Well, he did do television. He was on Ninja Warrior or Ninja Turtle or whatever.
So you fancy him, Ivan?
Oh, he's good looking. If I was going to bat that way, well...
So then I'm doing this quickly now because the doc says, don't do this at all. Don't do these at all because people aren't interested. But... Mick Christian, remember Mick, who used to come in here and give us
is this a shout out?
Well, Mick's, do you know what Mick's doing? Mick is trying to, now Max has just arrived, hello Max. Max has just arrived and Max got a one-off hat, a cap, a baseball cap with You Cannot Be Serious on it. And Mick, when he came in here, has now he's now scarpered down to Tasmania with his beautiful wife to live in some bloody joint down there. And he said, with nothing really to do with his life, he said, why don't I get some hats manufactured and we'll sell them, meaning he'll sell them. And if there's any left over, he'll dribble some money over to us, I presume. But we're not doing it for a money-making concern. So I've given Max... Hello, Max.
Good morning.
I've given Max... I've given Mick Max's blueprint hat, which I wear sometimes on here. And we've had... been inundated, I think it would be...
Well, I thought it was a different style that Mick's doing. A bit like those giggle... What were those giggle hats or something they used to wear in the Vietnam War? You remember those ones with the short brim? What did you call those?
I beg your pardon?
Vietnam War was a war, Max.
Thank you, Don.
And they used to wear these hats that had a short brim on, cotton. I think they were called giggle
pork
hats.
Pork pie hats?
No, giggle hats.
Don.
Mick, I thought Mick was doing that style.
Mick, I just told you I've given Mick the blue... What are you looking at?
That. Why isn't
it
going up?
Oh, because it doesn't do it. I don't know why. Max has now just seen these cadence bars aren't working on the computer. So I don't know. We presume we're on. We're just doing it. So, Don, it's got nothing to do with the Vietnam War and the hats that they wore. In the Vietnam War, Max has given Mick Christian... I gave Mick Christian the hat that Max... Why am I explaining this? He's getting some hats made up.
I think he's right. Giggle hat.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, well, he's not getting
one
those.
For one.
I told you he's getting the baseball caps made up.
He says that this is coming into fashion now, the giggle hat or Google hat or whatever it is.
Hang on.
Coming into whose fashion?
Fashionable.
Bullshit. Don, we're getting the hats that I...
Control freak. You're not happy.
That's come out of nowhere. I got an order made up for 50 or 150 to be made up. You never gave me the all clear, though.
That's correct, Max, because that was about 6 months ago or even a year ago, and Mick came in here snooping around. He comes in here and he saw the hat and he said, oh, and now I was just saying we've had lots of people get hold of me and say, buy the hats, the caps, the baseball caps with You Cannot Be Serious on it. So Mick's seen an opportunity here to fill the time in his retirement down in Tasmania. God knows what he'd be doing down there. And he's going to see if he can get a raft of hats made with a view to selling them. And the reason I'm mentioning this before Dr. Ben gets on the line, if he ever does, is that he said, could I give a shout-out, Mick, to a bloke called Johnny Wilson from Hobart? Who the fuck is Johnny Wilson? Anyhow, Johnny, if you're listening, my man, don't spend too much time with Mick. He'll drive you absolutely bonkers. So Johnny Wilson.
Johnny Wilson.
Johnny Wilson Johnny from Hobart. Wilson. Johnny Wilson from Hobart. So that's that out of the way. Now.
Did you watch the Commonwealth Games?
No.
Why? I thought you were a sport enthusiast.
I am a great sport enthusiast.
Although it
Don.
Wasn't the best sports people participating, it was still very good.
Okay, well...
Is best this in the country, wasn't it?
Beg your pardon?
Best in the country, best in Australia. Were they not competing or not?
Yes, but worldwide, a few athletes in the athletics boycotted the running events.
Did they? Why?
Well, I don't know, because they had a world championships a couple of weeks before, maybe.
Okay.
And, yes.
Well, they wouldn't have boycotted them. They just
they just didn't bother turning up.
Well, they
But there's
true.
A couple of sports which are unique to the Commonwealth. One is cricket. I don't know why the men don't participate, but the women play 220. But the netball was fantastic.
And we just won that. We won the hockey yesterday, didn't we, as well?
Yeah, but the netball was sensational because there's an up-and-coming team called Jamaica. They've never played off before. They might have won a bronze back in 2011, but they were very, very good.
Good.
Untapped
okay.
talent.
So we've just drifted onto the sport. Have we anything else going on in the sport? Max is the sporting king here.
Well,
we've
got that thing happening in Adelaide, which is just absolutely ridiculous.
Is this about Eddie Betts? Is this about Eddie? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
No, hang on, mate. This is. You wait till I get onto this. you reckon truth sometimes can be more relevant than fiction? You wait. Do you want me to do this now?
Hang on.
Well, I can't hold you back. It's your show.
Just for clarity as well, it's not just Eddie Betts. He was one of the three that's spoken out that's now moved on from the club.
Okay.
So there's Josh Jenkins and Bryce Gibbs as well.
Well, I wasn't going to quite do this now, but...
you can do it now.
Well, it's
your show. It's supposed to be starting at 9.
This podcast, bear with me. This podcast was taken to task... for having, I'm going to mention this again, you mentioned last year that why do people go to Nicky Winmar when Black Lives Matters is mentioned? And we wondered why that was the case, because Black Lives Matter is a domestic terror organisation, and when the players knelt and held hands in honour of Black Lives Matter at the start of a game last year, they had no idea what they were doing. They just like sheep. So then we sat on this desk here with Sheehan, Scott and Newman sat here, and Scott said, was it misreported about an event that happened out of Victoria Park? So fast forward... We were taken to task for having a legitimate and sensible discussion about what the perception was about why Winmar lifted his jumper out of Victoria Park 30 years ago. We made no conclusions and we made no decision as to it, and Sheehan even said the only person who would know what he meant by doing that was Winmar himself, and we all agreed with that, and that was it. And we said that the general perception at the crowd was that it was about something else, not what Winmar said. We didn't agree with that. We just said that was the perception. So then the activists rounded up, and the head CEO of the AFL, Gil McLachlan, then stuck his nose into a vilification case that was brought on by the solicitors to the AFL, or maybe even McLachlan's solicitor. And the feigned virtuosity and the feigned indignation of what we were discussing manifested itself into the fact that we got fined $100,000 for daring to have a sensible, very constructive conversation about what that was about. And the AFL, led by the CEO, McLachlan, stuck his nose into it to massage himself for his own inadequacies. His own incompetence about how he's handling the competition and the race.
But at that stage, they had a faux statue erected over in Western Australia. I think it might have been unveiled in honour of Nicky Winmar. So there might have been a bit of a conflict, do you think?
So this podcast was the victim of the most ridiculous and phony charge of vilification.
So what's your point? So what's your point in relation to Adelaide?
So So then, fast forward, and I had a conversation with McLaughlin on the phone when he rang me up a month after I suffered a bit of a personal tragedy. And he rang me up to say he was sorry, and I said, oh, did you know we were speaking to Michael Warner about a book that came out that ripped a new one to the AFL and McLaughlin and that, and I said, we're
Boys interview- Club, wasn't it?
The Boys yeah. Club the next day, and he said, oh, no, I didn't know that. I said, it's a coincidence that it's been a month after the tragedy I suffered and you suddenly ring up the day before. So this was an orchestrated, in my opinion, an orchestrated virtuous signalling and woke bullshit that he carries on with. So then we fast forward and suddenly Mr. Betts comes out and says that the training camp that the Crows had after they got beaten by Richmond, I think in 2017. The next year they had a training camp where apparently there was some Don. You tell us what was the training camp about. But Eddie Betts said, brought out in a book and said that they complained to the AFL about the treatment they've given, and the AFL, who is led by Gil McLaughlin, swept under the carpet the investigation and turned a blind eye to it. And I thought, well, how about that? You could not get a more...
Yeah, but I think you're missing a point here.
Good, I hope I am.
The point is, I think it's a little bit deeper than this, and this is what's happening in all football clubs now. There is a lack of football expertise on boards. Now, you might have one player on the board or a director that's actually played the game. The product is football, and if you haven't got a product knowledge, you shouldn't be on the board. The expertise in business and whatever else should be on the board as well, but you can combine the two of them. Now, what happens in a football club is the football department comes up to the uneducated board members who are football groupies, know nothing about the game, this is what we're going to do. They're not able to pull the football department into gear because they revere them. They're called star fuckers. Yes. And to do...
Star fuckers, Don.
Yes, the board. Board.
Don, I'm with you.
Okay, now let me finish. Well, so the board should pull the football departments into gear. Now, the football departments are running rampant within football clubs. The number of people employed to get a football team onto the ground is just absolutely ridiculous. It's a job for the boys and it's a gravy train for these ex-footballers to get become, you know, whatever. Then they've got to justify their position. Now, to have a camp such as this, I thought the ability to win the ball and whatever else, the psychological stuff should not come into it at all. If you cannot measure up on a football ground, you get replaced by somebody else.
Don.
So you do not have to go and psychoanalyze somebody and then bring all the shit up like in group therapy.
I agree, Don, so this got to the stage where...
Yeah, but it comes back to a lack of knowledge on football clubs.
But it's just this gets to the stage where there was a book written by Mr. Betts who singled out the AFL and said that they complained and brought up all these points, and the AFL, led by that man, the CEO, Gil McLaughlin, who is the buck stops with him, I presume, if he's the boss, that's the man who inserted himself into our position just to
massage his own... So who's responsible? See, the bigger problem
is... Talk about throwing people under the bus.
The company, the football directors are responsible for company debt. They are also responsible for what goes on in the football club themselves. It's like Crown Casino in Melbourne. All of those directors went out because they didn't understand what was going on underneath.
I'm just saying this complaint was brought up, and the AFL, led by Gil McLaughlin, swept this under the carpet and ignored it. That's what Betts' charge is. And
yeah, but it's not only Betts. And the other thing is...
It doesn't matter, but I'm trying to draw the analogy between that man sitting in another room with their lawyers and chatting to our lawyers about what we did when we had a completely legitimate conversation just to show that they are woke and that they're massaging their own inadequacies, Talk about throwing people under the bus. The feckless leadership that that man showed, how he stays in a job is beyond me, and he has all the characteristics of a dog except loyalty. And seriously, the bullshit that we had to put up with and they singled us out to throw us under the bus just to make themselves look good, and they go and do 10 times worse by ignoring all that. They are nothing more than preening, pandering sycophants.
But also, the three fellows that have been given voice, Bryce,
Jenkins,
all were disgruntled. You've got Taylor Walker coming out and saying he got a lot of benefit. But the issue is deeper than that, and it goes back to what I said, that the football club let something like this happen in the first place.
I'm curious, is he saying that though because he's still employed within the AFL?
Who?
Taylor Walker. That he got some benefit out of it. It strikes me as odd that the three players that are outspoken have finished their career and no longer.
That's a relevant point, and I that's a very good point, and I never thought about that. But you know the way people work, I can't relate to that.
No, that's fair enough.
Taylor Walker says that, I think you say it as you see it, and I'd be very very disappointed if he compromised himself.
Seems like he's cut from a different cloth as well. The way he carries himself, Walker. Not that Eddie Betts
well,
and everything
you want to
aren't.
See how the just hierarchy operate? To buy the book, the boys.
Yeah, but
club
that's he sold
Michael
the book,
Warner.
Hasn't he? By doing this, he's got a controversial story, Eddie Betts, and now the book will sell.
Exactly.
So that's what you've got to do when you write a book. You've got to have some catch to get people involved.
Right. So that's
what about the other thing? I went to a football club meeting, and I don't know if I'm out of step here, but why do you have welcome to country when you go to a meeting? Where are you going, you rude bastard?
Guess who got in trouble? Not in trouble. Guess who got condemned with this a couple of days ago? Two TV programs did because it was seen as unnecessary. The Block and The Masked Singer.
What did they do?
Did a welcome to country before the end of the start of the show. And
what are you, Jay? You're joking, aren't you?
No, they did. They did before the Block and The Masked Singer before the program did a welcome to country. Yeah. And someone came out who was not an elder, a committee member, said it was just completely unnecessary and they were offended by it.
Yeah, well, I went to a meeting. I told you, I went to a meeting. And I was out of step. I said, what's going on here? We've got to do that now.
Yeah, because it's just crept in, Don. It's just got. It's they just push people, the activists, not the Indigenous people. To Max's point, you said, where was I going? I got up to get the newspaper clipping, seeing you've brought nothing in to refer to. And this is what the newspaper says. Indigenous leaders have blasted the popular Australian reality shows for doing the welcome to country. The Indigenous leaders said it was condescending to do it.
Doesn't that weaken the cause or the significance of welcome to country?
Absolutely.
And why wouldn't you, if you got welcome to country there, why wouldn't you say welcome to the Commonwealth? Aren't we part of the Commonwealth as well?
And because that's not the point of it.
What?
You know, this is why you got the Lord Mayor Sally Capp saying that we're going to revamp Australia Day. They just keep pitting Australians against Australians, and even the Indigenous leaders say it's condescending to keep doing it. And it's just a thing that's crept in to make everyone feel warm and fuzzy about what's gone on in the past. Could we get over it and move on and be all one people? And I can't just keep saying this. And yet you have the CEO of the AFL
disguise his own social privilege.
No,
it's Asperger's.
He's only got another month and a half anyway.
What?
Do you think the Chinese will do a welcome to country when they invade Australia?
He's got a month and a half, he should resign. What?
He's already resigned, mate.
Well, he should get the sack.
Before we get invaded by either Russia or China, do you think they'll do a welcome to country?
They'll make a new one.
Well done.
They'll make a new one.
Don, we've watched the Commonwealth Games. Now,
You wouldn't have watched the closing ceremony.
No.
I think I've got to take my hat off to the British. I watched the Olympic Games in London. And I thought that was just so good, the opening and closing ceremony. Maybe they've got talent to burn over there, international talent to burn. But Birmingham was terrific as well. How Victoria is going to come up, I do not know. I really don't know, because they did just such an excellent job in presentation, especially the opening and close. I think it was designed for it was designed for television. I don't know how it had come across if you were actually sitting there, but it was very, very intimate and very well done by the organisers.
What have we got coming up recently in the next couple of years? Have we got not the Olympics? What have we got? Yeah, no, Brisbane. Is it the Olympics?
The 2032, I think.
Oh, not in a few years, and a fair few years. We have the Olympics, do we?
Now, Don.
Is it? Yes.
Now, the Olympics in Brisbane, but we've got Brisbane. The Commonwealth Games coming up in 4 years' time.
Mm. Oh, we do? Okay.
And it will be in regional cities, so you might have the boxing in Ballarat.
In Box Hill.
And Box Hill. You might have something
the boxing in
Box Hill. What do you think Box Hill
will be? The javelin in Java where? City.
That'll be in Melton.
Yeah, that's right, the meltdown in
we
Melton.
We could have the athletics down at the college, Don, around the racing
in the
track,
meantime, the running track. In the meantime, Phoebe, who used to be on Phoebe, Fiona Byrne.
She is looking after herself? She's not coming in anymore.
No, she's very happy to come in.
I think she's a little bit wary.
You told her not to come in every week because it stops you from being...
crude, rude and vulgar.
So that
stops him from saying
anything.
So
anyhow, Phoebe, along with Jackie Epstein, has put together... Jackie Epstein.
I wonder if she's any relation to Louis Epstein. Do you remember
Let him finish.
In Flinders Street?
Let him finish.
He used to make equestrian clothing and sell 501
Levi's. What about Jeffrey Epstein?
Moving on.
You know, who had the Lolita Express that Bill Clinton travelled 26 times on to go over and touch up young
talking
girls.
Talking about Jeffrey Epstein, what about Ghislaine Maxwell? Why is she still alive?
Don, I'm
excuse
Don.
Me.
She's still alive because they want to prolong punishment, which is fair enough.
Well, or has she struck a deal saying, I won't name people?
What do you mean?
Well, if she doesn't know who's...
I'm not saying that she doesn't, but why would you want to end...
Well, she does know.
Don.
Of course she does.
You've done.
Why have we gotten onto
this?
I
just said Phoebe and Jackie Epstein and a couple of others have put together the new A-list of people in the community. And it says a partnership between two people as successful as in their own right as they are together is a powerful thing. And these A-list people do it and go out in style, that is. And now, do you want me to read out who the A-list people...
You'd be in the A-list, wouldn't you?
Wait for this, Donald. You'll love this.
Surely not.
Power couples are defined, this is what Phoebe says, as two people who are either married or in a relationship who are each... influential and successful in their own right. Not Melbourne is awash with such pairs in fashion, entertainment, politics and business. And here we are. Now, so this is I'm not sure if it's
can
done.
Can we pick one, the first one?
Yeah, can we take bets on who the first one is?
Okay,
I got the Judds.
Well, you'd have to go with the Premier, wouldn't you?
No, Judds.
Wrong.
Judds.
Yep.
Eddie Maguire.
Had to be. No.
Oh, the Judds.
Judds, absolutely have to be.
The A-list couples.
Eddie Maguire.
Well, Don, I don't know if you know either of these two people, but it says Jeff Brown and Anne Peacock.
A number one.
It's
oh, God.
Newly crowned Collingwood president, Jeffrey Brown and Melbourne unofficial mayor crowns Anne Peacock. Tops the list of celebrity power couples of 2022. Do you know either of those two people? Could you make a comment?
This is very subjective. You said the Judds.
Well, I know that the way he described it at the start.
No. Max, you're onto something. I'm just going to go through the list.
What other power couples are there?
Thank you, Don. I was just saying I'm about to go through the list.
The next one.
This is according to Phoebe and
Epstein.
Jack Epstein, who? Jackie. Oh, they've delved right into it. I think I'm not.
Sam Newman in his right hand.
Were they short of a story this week?
Well, I think our friend from Alice in Wonderland, Alice.
Oh no, she's no. Well, no she,
That's why
that's Peter's daughter, Alice.
I think Alice.
Yeah, Peter's daughter.
I think Alice, rather than pinching stuff off, the podcast we do and putting it in her column, I think she's contributed to this as well. So that's nice to see that she's got some material of her own rather
Percy
than relying
Jones
on
or
us.
Peter Jones is. You know, Percy.
Oh, no. Now, a shout out to Percy. And he is in constant contact with Mick Sheehan.
It'll be a long conversation.
Because Mick said, why do you listen to that crap? This is the crap that he used to be on. And he withdrew after Gilbert Blockland inserted himself into the Windmar affair.
It'd be a long conversation, Percy and Mick, because Percy would be stumbling and mumbling. How would he go when he was coaching? I mean, by the time he got through his pre-match address, the game would be over.
No one does an unnecessary segue better than Don. Just hands down.
Correct, Matt. Max, well done, Max. I'm glad I've taught you perception.
Far out.
Shut up, Don. I'm going through. So Anne Peacock and Jeff Brown. I'm
number one.
So it says here on the list. Then there's Chris Lucas and Sarah Lou.
Who?
Lou, as
Chris
in
Lucas.
Chris Lucas is a restaurateur, not a restaurateur. There's no N in restaurateur.
Oh, I'm thinking of Scott Lucas.
Did you know that?
Scott Lucas.
Scott Lucas is the ex Essendon forward.
It says here about Chris and Sarah. Effortlessly chic. Sarah Lou hits every high note with her style choices as Melbourne's it girl, longtime partner restaurateur. They've got the N in restaurateur. That's
okay,
a type
well,
of capital
listen,
letter.
Give us
it's
number restaurateur. Three. Chris righto, we got two.
Is
three.
No slouch either, right? Then there's
who's three?
Right, Andy Penn and Kelly Bluehorn.
Jeez, we're struggling.
Andy Penn and Kelly Bluehorn. That's what it says here.
Just to be fair, if you read out your names to them, they'd have no idea who you were either.
God. Kelly Bluehorn. The Telstra boss and his stylish wife marry arts and business in an oh-so-stylish way. Avid art collectors.
That's three.
Three.
Who's four?
Thank you, Don. I'm going down in sequential order. Luke and Kate Sayers.
Oh, yeah.
Carlton Football Club president Luke Sayers. He's the man that came to Gil McLaughlin's defence in the boys' club when Mick Warner gave him a scathing...
He said,
it's a privilege to serve with him. Can't strike me. Kate and Luke Sayers. Now, Max, well done. No, not yet.
Not yet.
Then
okay.
I'm not sure. This is number five. Number five. Nick and Rosella Russian. Who? Russian. Nick and Rosella. Rosella, it's like a parrot. It's not Rosella. It is Rosella. The nightclub czar and his glamorous, influential wife are a must-have on the ruby rug at the Melbourne major events, you know, with the red carpet. That's just a... So here we go. That's the next one. Luba Grigorovich and Ben Gray. Luba Grigorovich and Ben Gray.
This podcast has really gone downhill.
What? Private equity
used
baron.
Used to be such influential topics I used to listen to. And he's talking about A-list of power couples.
These are the people we should take note of in the society. These are the A-listers, Don. If you step out to
a function, or you go
to a restaurant and you see these people, you think you should gravitate and ask them for autographs and be seen with them because they are the power couples, Don. They make you feel good and they make you feel enriched. This is Luba and Ben. And then we get on to Scotty James and Chloe Stroll. Scotty James, an Australian snowboarding champion, Scotty James and his billionaire F1 heiress,
yes.
Chloe.
Yep.
Who's she? Chloe Stroll.
Lance Stroll. Or Lawrence Stroll.
Oh,
fourth richest
wow.
Canadian.
Oh, wow.
So he got onto her on the ski fields, obviously.
Yeah.
Not bad from him. A boy from Warrandyte.
Is he from Warrandyte?
Well, so he's got onto a billionaire and a snowboarder. A snowboarder's got onto a billionaire.
Ooh.
Wow. Well, he's smart as a whip. Now we've covered all bases. Wait for this.
Yeah.
So here's Tony Elwood.
Tony Elwood.
And Tom Mosby.
Who are they?
They're one of the power couples.
Well, who are they? Hang on. What? Say that again.
Don.
No.
Tony Elwood and Tom Mosby.
Mosby. So Tom.
Tony with an I.
Tony.
Or Tony.
No,
with a Y.
Tony. It's two blokes. Two blokes. So they're the power couple. They're an item. They're like, it's a wonder Mr. and Mr. Joyce weren't on the A-list.
Did Fiona and Jackie write this?
Yes, so we've covered all bases. Covering all bases.
Exactly.
One of the most formidable power couples in the arts world are Tony and Tom.
Did you sell your artwork through them?
Mostly. What? What'd you say? Oh, did I sell my artwork? I'm not sure who.
That's the best things Don said in 12 months.
Well done. Did I sell my artwork? I wonder if I'm allowed to mention how I sold my artwork.
But you had an agent sell it for you, didn't you?
I did. I had an agent.
What, well-informed agent? Was he good in the art world? He would have worked on a low commission.
No.
Did you pay him?
Hey?
I hope you came good with the commission.
Shut up, Don.
I had an agent sell it, and I got the name of the agent from someone who used to be on this podcast.
No.
And then all hell broke loose. Shut up. Fantastic. Gee, I'll write a book one day. Max, well done. Then Rebecca and Chris Judd. I don't know if they're number 10. They're a power couple.
What about Nadia Bartel? Is she there?
She's not a power couple anymore.
No. Why?
Because she's separated from Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, really? Don't you remember the plate when she had a hooter in the Bolivian booger sugar that went round the...
What about the other one down? Geelong seemed to have all these wags. What about Jack Hawkins and his wife? Is she an influencer?
Hawkins.
Tom.
Yeah, well, very,
I'm
very
going
couple.
Through the influencers. I'm going through the power couples that Fiona and Jackie decide the power couples.
Probably a separate list.
And in case it's been lost on you, the number one power couple in the universe is Jeff Brown and Anne Peacock.
Good on them.
I'm sure they're familiar to everyone at the table. And then, these are very nice people, I know them both. Then there is Jane Kennedy and Rob Sitch.
Well, they're a couple.
They're married. They've got brace of children, and they're a very, very good power couple. You remember Rob Sitch and Jane Kennedy. They're into creativity, and I think they...
Working Dog Productions.
Well done, Don. See, you're not just a pretty face, and that is as true a statement as they've ever made. You are not a pretty face. So... They're the power couples that you got to keep.
I think we could add a few to that, couldn't we?
Okay, let's give us your power couple. Mr. and Mr. Joyce, if Ben and Mr.
What about
Mosley,
Gil?
Ben and Tony. What?
Gil.
You got to name the couple. You got to name the other half, though, Don.
See. Okay, so you got to have two well-known halves. Okay.
Yeah, well, you've got to have a couple.
Well, I'll have to work on this.
Oh, well, okay. You know, yeah.
He'll come up with some...
Hey, talking about...
He'll come up with some horse bloody... manufacturer
that's
or something
right.
for equipment
just a horse woman in or a horse someone who the all the, she was only
listen,
the
talking about celebrities
daughter that all the horse manure
shush talking about celebrities. I got a message the other day, text message. Rex Hunt, should he have a GPS on him,
like an AirTag?
Well, I don't know, because I believe this photograph was taken at the railway station at Frankston and I couldn't believe. He's got tights on and he's got board shorts. Do you call board shorts? We used to call them board shorts, Max.
I've got a picture.
They're down to his knees. He looks like a spider. A check shirt, and he's got his flat hat, a flat hat turned on backwards with a mask.
Well, anyhow, that's...
Now, anyway, he's standing on the Frankston station, and I'm just wondering whether he should have a GPS so we know exactly where he is and what he's doing.
If he was on Frankston station, he should have a knife.
So...
That's the photo. Well done.
Well, Rex, don't criticise people for their style of dress. Don, look at you. You come out looking like Steptoe sometimes. You look like you've been in a plane crash. You just look... So I'll just describe what Rex was wearing at the train station.
I thought I did.
Actually described that quite well.
Go on, we'll do it again. I'll tell you.
Okay,
right.
Well, he had his running shoes. We'll start from the bottom, from what my memory, because it made an impact on me.
Yep.
He had running shoes, athletic shoes
he did.
Maybe Adidas or something along that line. Then he had black tights.
He did. Well
skinny
done.
Legs. The legs weren't well defined.
No, they wouldn't be now, Don, because his football career has been over. Okay, nor well yours, and nor
well, he looks
mine.
Like a spider in them. And then on top
a
of
rock
the...
rock spider?
What?
No, go on.
And then on top of the tights, so they're underneath, the baggy shorts that go from the waist
well
to the
done.
Knee, very wide. Then on top of that, he had, a T-shirt, a crew neck T-shirt, but he had an open... He had the open...
Happy Hammond's coat on.
No. That's a Czech flannel shirt.
Yes.
You know,
it is
which
too.
You've
got an extraordinary memory.
This man can't remember any of the topics that he wants to talk about, but he can describe the whole dress code of Rex Hunt
and
Frankston. That's amazing.
Did you hear what the boy said?
That is amazing.
No, he's talking over the top of me.
No, did you hear what he said?
No.
He said you can't remember one topic that you bring into this that you've described to a T from memory what Rex is wearing, and yet you can bring nothing in for 2 years.
I forgot.
That's incredible.
Go on, we'll keep going.
And then I told you he had the mask with the flat hat.
Well, I think
did he have the flat hat turned back to front, or
might have been one of those Google hats, or
where Giggle do you think
hats?
We could hang Giggle. The GPS machine?
I've got a feeling. I'm only just looking at the thing, and he might have got them from Lynn. I think he's got a pair of ladies' knickers wrapped around his.
Oh, he wouldn't.
What are they then? What are they? What do you reckon they are, Max? Are they ladies' knickers?
Oh,
no.
No, well, all right, I'll take that back. They're what?
They're very big bloomers of that. No,
all right,
that's a.
What are you talking about? His shorts?
No, what's that wrapped around his face? Is that? Is
oh,
that that's
looks like Lord, a it looks like a ski mask.
It looks like a mask of
some kind. The next ski mask. You know, one of those things that just pop up and
Lynn's
down.
Underwear drawer and got the mask just so he doesn't get COVID. That's all right. I used to do that. I used to wear ladies' knickers ever since my first wife found them in the back seat of my car. No, that's a joke. Oh. No, that's pathetic. No, I shouldn't have said that. That's ridiculous.
He says as he chuckles.
No.
I used that 40 years ago and got into trouble. 56 years ago and got into trouble.
Incidentally, Confucius. Someone said...
Confucius once said.
Yeah. I like this. This has got nothing to do with it, really. It's only when a mosquito lands on your testicles...
How could a mosquito...
that you realise there's always a way to cure a problem without violence.
Yes.
It's when a mosquito lands on your agates,
a
Don,
mosquito.
There's always another way to solve a problem without using violence. Because if
why
you get a big large...
Why would the mosquito land on your agates?
Because you might be lying out in the privacy of your own backyard, suntanning, and you got the plums out, and a mosquito comes in and starts to suck the blood out of your plums. And
well, you might be in ecstasy.
You get a big, large paper wrapped up, and you whack your agates, and you think, shit, why don't I do that? Because you suddenly get a stomach ache, and your voice goes up to treble C.
Listen, the sun wouldn't be out when they only come out at dusk, mozzies.
Oh, my God.
I thought you were talking about your agates.
Well, your agates, I think you've got a problem bringing your agates out at dusk.
Yours only came out at dusk, Don, from what I hear. What?
Well, no.
At dusk, that's right. When the sun goes down, out come the agates, I'm told with you, Don. You used to put the baggy tweeds on and smuggle a horn into the city. You were insatiable. And I tell you
I'll
what...
I'll be second to you.
I tell you what...
Do you reckon you could write a book?
I could write a book about selling me art. Selling me art, I could write a book about that.
I reckon it'd be a good seller. We could go through could break it down into a... write a book, Johnny's book.
Shut up, Don, please.
We could break it into segments.
Volumes, Don.
So here's
it'd be volume. Each segment would be volume. We might have to do a... do volumes, 1, 2 and 3.
If mosquitoes do land on your agates, Don, this is a nice segue to this, maybe, I don't know if that would be another use for marijuana oil.
The marijuana oil.
Well, I don't know. I tell you, if you want marijuana oil, Dr. James Stewart sells it. Well, he doesn't sell it. He's a GP.
You've made Don lose the plot.
What do you put the marijuana oil on your nuts when they... with the mosquito.
And some roasted nuts.
No, I'm not sure if that
would
be
you put the one with the illusionary? Actually, I'm feeling much better since I've been using that stuff.
What,
I'm riding two horses a day now, and I put it down to the marijuana oil. I'm as high as a kite after the second.
Just, Don, I've just got a...
what?
I'm reading out a text. I've just received it from the doctor in Sydney. Remember, I asked him, would he be on today? You didn't know. I texted him. Morning, Sam. All set for next Wednesday. We have rounded everyone up. What time would you like us to all be there?
Who's he rounded
up? Rounded
up? This is the wrong Ben. Jesus. This is the wrong Ben.
Coincidentally, who is the Ben and who is he rounding up?
Oh, shit. I've read out a personal text. A personal text to me. That's Ben. Oh. That's a different Ben.
What's this,
no,
Ben?
No, here's a reply. Well,
who's he rounding up?
I texted the doc, your new bum boy.
Bum boy.
I texted the doc and I said, are you on today? No probs if not. I'm still waiting to hear back from him.
Don't segue. Who's the Ben?
Fancy me reading out that private text.
Who's Ben?
No,
who's he rounding up?
So that's it.
So what are we doing with Ben?
Yeah, what's happening next Wednesday?
No, that's... I don't know why I read that out.
Well, where are you going, Ratty?
How confusing is that? I've got two Bens have
well,
come
why don't
up
you put Ben Fordham and who's the other Ben?
I have put him up. No,
who?
It doesn't matter what his name is.
Well, it does because he sent you a text.
How stiff am I, Max? Two Bens came up immediately, one after the other. And I've only know two Bens in the world.
And unfortunately, with the Apple phones, it only shows the first name. It doesn't show the surname when you get a text message.
So now, tell me what about this, Don. I was on the tram the other day, and this bloke, who's obviously blind, had this pit bull terrier. A pit bull dog.
What type of dog?
Pit bull.
Pitbull.
Is that a pitbull?
It's a singer, isn't it?
Is that a pitbull a dog?
American pitbull.
American.
You wouldn't have it on the tram.
Well, Don, I'm just
they're savage dogs. Did you have it on
not.
A leash?
The owners are savage. Anyway, continue.
Can he ruin
a joke?
Can you break into a fucking story? I was on the tram, Don, and this man who was blind, I think, came on with the pitbull as a guide dog, I presume. And the dog savaged four or five people on the tram. And a bloke sitting opposite the bloke said, hey, he said, control your dog. And the bloke said, well, it's my guide dog. He said, well, aren't guide dogs are meant to be bloody Labradors or Beagles? And the bloke said, shit, what did they give me? Now, I thought that was humorous. Now, what are you doing? You want to finish?
You could have finished on that note.
No, you couldn't have finished on that one. That was terrible.
What, a bit flat?
Yeah, just a bit. Although you should never get a Labrador. You should
what
never get one.
What were you doing on the tram? Have you crashed your car?
Ivan.
A B-double sideswiped my car on the freeway. I was driving along, minding my own business, at about 10:30 at night because I'd been out at a function. I was coming up the Westgate Freeway. And I'm minding my own business. I went crash, and I frightened the living suitcase out of me. And this B-double just sideswiped me, and I'm in the car. And I couldn't...
You serious?
Yes, I am.
You would have been irate.
A what?
You would have been irate.
Well, I was so...
Jeez,
I'd
be
such,
shitting myself.
I did. I got such a fright. So anyhow, I couldn't catch...
What he came across?
Well, I don't know. I'm not necessarily blaming him. I'm just saying he wouldn't have even known he hit me. Mm. And I had to pull the car over and pull the mudguard off the wheel. Lord. And there was tyre marks...
What, the Mustang?
Yes, tyre marks all down the side of the car.
Shit.
Tyre marks all down the side of the car, and I thought...
When was
if the tray of the B-double had caught under the mudguard or the bumper bar, it would have just flipped the car over.
Yeah, you could have gone underneath.
Yeah, that's
he
what
must have been distracted by all the graffiti.
No, I was minding my own business, just driving my lane, and wow, did it frighten me. Yeah,
you didn't have any marijuana oil before.
No, Don, I was driving. What? Well, you meaning I was driving under the influence of something? No, Don, I wasn't. No, I've been to function. so I'm not likely to have a head of steam up at a function, am I?
Yes, you have done that in the past.
Have I? Yeah. I was speaking at a function, Don.
Well, that doesn't stop you.
Oh, well, you wouldn't load yourself up with analgesics if you're going to speak at a function. What, to speak at a function?
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't remember what you're saying. Don, hello? You wouldn't remember
what... You just say the same thing each function.
Take your hand away from your mouth. What did you say then? What did you say then? I mean, I just didn't hear what you
it
said.
It says you say the same thing every time at the function.
Oh, yeah. So if you speak at 100 functions, could you possibly speak about something different 100 times in a row, could you? Of course you don't do that, Don. You have a routine and you tell people and stories about things about your career and people you've met, and usually, on every occasion, it's not the same people that come to the function, so they've only heard it for the first time. What do you talk about? You can't make up new things if you do it 100 times in a row.
How was the trip to Adelaide?
And people ask, could you and I go and speak at a function?
You asked a question. You just glossed straight after that. How was the trip to Adelaide?
How was it?
Well, Max wanted to know, not me.
All right. Very good, Max. Thank you. I went over and I spoke at two functions over there. And
I thought you were blackballed. What, didn't somebody blackball you?
They tried to, because I was...
a transgender person?
Yes. No,
tried to blackball you?
A gay man. A gay man did.
What?
I don't know.
It wasn't Hans. No, he just dresses up, doesn't he?
Well, I don't know what he does. But
you know, Hans...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been...
I know Hans, but he's...
Hans or somebody.
Yeah. Distinguished man.
Poor, simple person just...
Hans is an entertainer.
He entertains himself. Just trying to eliminate the competition that might take away from him getting a gig. And I would...
How'd you go?
So hang on, what happened?
I'm superior to Hans, so it didn't matter. Absolutely superior.
What did you do? What did Hans... What's blackballing?
Blackball
is when the mosquito lands on your agate.
Blackball is an old thing where I think it used to happen in golf clubs or different organisations.